Okay, here we are. This is AP and Spence. We're two lawyers talking college sports and sports law in general. March Madness is in full swing, both the men's and women's tournament, and we are here to bring you the news, the legal news, and also our very important takes on the tournament, right? So how you doing, AP?
Doing good. Doing really good. You know, the March Madness is a fun time of year, and I still think it's the best postseason in all of sports. And, you know, this tournament has not disappointed. In fact, it's one of the wackiest ones I think we've ever had.
Yeah, there have been more upsets, the higher seeded upsets than ever. They've already broken that record. So it's really fun to see that happening. And I've loved every minute of it. I know you have too.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, it's, you know, I had my brackets all busted, as I know a lot of people's are. Because nobody, I think, expected, not too many people expected Ohio State to lose as early as they did, and Texas, and some big names that went off the map quick. Illinois, you know, you just don't expect some upsets, but this was kind of crazy. And then we had one game that was canceled because of coronavirus, VCU in Oregon.
Yeah, which is pretty good. If you think about it, only one game of the 32 first round games was canceled, and there hasn't been a second round game canceled. So now we have the Sweet 16 set. We're gonna get into it. We're gonna go over our brackets here later. But that's not too bad. And there hasn't been any women's games canceled yet.
Yeah, no women's games. So the women are playing in sort of a bubble in San Antonio, and then the men are playing essentially in a bubble in the Indianapolis area.
Right.
Not necessarily a bubble, though, right? I mean, the men are playing at different venues, but in the same city.
Different venues in and around Indianapolis. And the women are doing the same thing. They're playing in different venues in and around San Antonio.
Yeah.
They're both doing that. They're both staying within the teams, as I've read about, that both the programs have to stay within the team that they're with. They have to get tested every day. And what happened at VCU was they had one positive test. Then the next day they had two more positive tests. And so they shut it down.
Yeah.
You know, they shut it down. So VCU, even though they worked their tail off to get there and they were going to play what was, you know, going to be a tough game against Oregon, but a good team. It would have been a great game. I was really looking forward to it. They got that ripped away from them, you know, and that's just for health and safety protocols, I guess. So.
Yeah, it's, and Oregon was able to advance on that. And so we're hoping there's no more cancellations. We don't want teams winning by cancellation. We want to see the games. We want to see it happen, you know. And so, but there's that going on. And there's a little news shaking out of the NCAA.
That's right.
Kind of a little bit of a controversy, I guess you could say. What do you think, Spence?
Well, what's going on? Well, a big controversy. So here's what we know. So about this. So last week, a player for the University of Oregon on the women's team posted a video that went viral of the weight room disparities between the women's weight room and the men's weight room. Basically, what it was for the women's weight room, there was a one stack of dumbbells that was it. The men had this expansive room filled with tons of weights and treadmills and all of this stuff, this huge area in this hotel. And so the video went viral because the Oregon player was saying, look, there's something not right about this. Like, how are we getting so few resources compared to the men's team? And the NCAA correctly, you know, adjusted that and then got the women similar weights and workout equipment. But you know, what strikes me is the power of the student. The student athlete still has a lot of power in these things, that they can bring this to light, this disparity to light. And B, you know, it kind of brought up the argument of, you know, kind of the Title IX type argument that when you're in college and when you're in these universities, there has to be equality. Isn't that right?
Yeah, you know, mostly it's against the school itself, and this is interesting where it's like some outside entity tournament, but the idea is just that. It's that what you give to the men, you got to give to the women. You know, you can't have men having their own workout facilities and women have some second-tier items. You got to give them the same gear. You know, they have to have the same travel opportunities. And it's really not based on – because you think about in regular life, there's a sense of like, oh, well, whatever – entities bringing the most money, let's cater to them, give that the most attention. But the whole point of Title IX was to get away from that and make things equal no matter how much money a sport did or didn't bring in. To make it women have the opportunity to play sports and get scholarships and travel and do that sort of thing as well. And, you know, there's different arguments to that. I mean, I've been there. I've been there where I'm at USC women's basketball or Oregon State women's basketball, and there's hardly anyone in the stands, you know, and it's a game. It's a Pac-12 game, and I'm watching it, and there's hardly anyone there, maybe some friends and family, and there's not a lot of attention given to it, but yet they have the same gear, they have the same weight room, they have the same meals, the same travel. It's just not bringing in the same, but the same opportunity is there. That's not to say that's true for all women's sports. I mean, you go to a University of Connecticut game, you know, when women's basketball at Oregon was big here a couple of years ago, they were drawing 8,000 or 9,000 people.
Yeah.
So they can catch fire and get really hot. But on average, oftentimes, you know, for the major sports, I'm talking, you know, softball, you know, basketball, those kind of, they're just not drawing the same interest and the same crowds and generating the same money as the men's sports. And so because of that, Title IX came in to try to make everything equal, and here was a kind of a glaring example of why that exists.
Right.
Because then you have women that are showing up, and they don't have the same opportunities as the men in their weight room.
Now, the interesting thing to me about this is that, you know, there was a study that was put out that said that the men's March Madness tournament, the NCAA tournament, makes almost $1 billion in revenue every year, and then that then after expenses are paid out, then gets distributed to a lot of programs. And a lot of programs, as you've said many times, kind of rely upon that money, especially the smaller D1 programs, rely upon that money to help fund their athletic programs, right?
Yeah, there's actually a major, significant broken model in business in college athletics where, you know, no programs really make any money except for men's football at the FBS level. And then a handful of high profile, you know, men's basketball programs. All the rest aren't making any money. Believe it or not, golf programs, rowing programs, you know, baseball programs, even premier baseball programs, Stanford baseball, something like that. They're not making any money, and they're paying their coaches $800,000 a year, $1 million a year, their travel, there's hotels. It costs a ton of money to put on these sports, and so what ends up happening is the NCAA takes this large pool, the TV money, the football, and they just sort of funnel all the money to all the other programs so you can have an actual athletic department, as opposed to just, we have football and men's basketball,
right,
and that's it. And so that's people forget that, because they when people think, oh, hey, the NCAA is making $1 billion here, and those fat cats are getting wealthy. Well, not necessarily. That's not exactly how it works. You know, it comes in, there's massive expenses that have to go out, and then they're funneling huge amounts of money. Really, it's this giant kind of, not Ponzi scheme, but kind of pool, collection of resources to make sure we can have college athletics like all people in their alma mater want to have. You know, you want to have that rowing team. You want to have that golf team. You want to have that softball team. And that's how we make this happen. And so that's, yeah, but it's $1 billion on average, which is a huge windfall, and that's why it had to go and why it was so detrimental that it didn't go last year.
I read a study saying that the NCAA lost $375 million last year because they had to cancel the tournament so late.
Yep.
Right? So it wasn't just that they didn't make any money because there wasn't a tournament. They actually lost money, and a significant amount of money, because they, you know, everything was rented, people were being paid. I mean, they canceled it 2 weeks before it was supposed to happen, or a week before it was supposed to happen. And so, you know, that's why the tournament had to go. Now, in comparison, the studies I've read, most studies I've read say that the women's basketball team nets in a profit about $35 million a year.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, unfortunately, that's not a lot of money. Especially when you compare it to the $1 billion that the men's program makes. So I guess, I mean, I don't know how to fix that. I don't know how to fix that issue other than the NCAA needs to get better. You know, there needs to be more eyeballs on the games, I guess. That's the only thing that I can think of.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it kind of goes to that whole idea, because that's just a fraction, right? So they're not really making anywhere near the money that men's basketball does. But that's, you know, the same idea where it's like, you know, you think of a broken model like a baseball team or a men's basketball team. Let's use USC men's basketball, for example. You know, their coach makes, I think, $1 million or $2 million a year. The assistants are making $600,000-$700,000. Those aren't small wages. I mean, those are heart surgeon wages, you know, partners at major law firms. I mean, it's big money. And, you know, so they're getting paid. And then the travel, I know when we would go to USC and we'd fly, it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to travel.
Right.
Hotels, food, flights, you're renting out planes, the whole thing. And so to take care of all that, make it actually happen, you need money has to be pooled wherever it can and then trickles down to all the other programs. And so, but I get why, in a sense, where they probably thought, hey, women's basketball, we have a light budget. We're not making a bunch of money. This is just to warm up. Let's get some equipment. So I could see where maybe that thought process came into play. It probably wasn't, hey, let's make sure they have less than the men. It probably wasn't that. It was just kind of a, hey, we're on a shoestring budget. Let's do the best we can. And man, hey, we got a massive budget. We got a bunch going on. Let's, and that, and, but social media can be the devil in a way, or it can be an angel, but and it reaches out and kind of educates people on what's going on. Well, you can see that, you know, the women didn't get anything near, and maybe the problem's going to be fixed, but that this happens. I mean, I've seen it at the collegiate level where you have women that are saying, hey, look, why are we getting this and the men get that? It doesn't make sense. And the first thing sometimes people say is, well, hey, money. You guys aren't bringing as much money. It's like, yeah, that's true, but you could say that then for almost all programs on a micro level.
Well, and we kind of talked about this too because, like, you know, one of your big concerns as far as the NIL rules and the change in the NIL rules is, and I think the same, is how do you make it fair and equitable between the men's and the women's programs? You know, because there may be examples of high profile men's teams, football, basketball, etc., that will have more opportunities for endorsements and for sponsorships versus the women's teams. You know, a team may not, you know, a car dealership down the street from the stadium is going to pay more money to have the men's football team to be there versus the women's softball team, right? But taking this weight room issue and expanding that out to how the NIL rules are going to be enforced, I mean, it just kind of makes your head hurt, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a problem, you know, because you think about it, you know, look, if you want to just be a straight capitalist and say, hey, we're going to put resources in, and it's a free market, we're going to put resources into what makes money, and free market's going to allow it to shake it out, then why have any women's sports, and why have baseball, you might as well just have men's football and maybe a men's basketball program. That's it. You have two sports, you're D1, and all the rest go away, and you will make more money. If that's the ultimate goal, women won't have the opportunity. A lot of men that play in the Olympic sports are going to not have those opportunities. Swimming, you know, those kind of sports. But if it's a truly economic model only, you might as well do that. But I think the NCAA decided, no, that's not what we're about. We're about equality. We're about opportunity. We're going to expand this. We're going to find different pockets to find money. But in the end, you know, if you really think about it, away from money, the rowers working just as hard on their sport for their school as the football players were.
Right.
It's just where you know, but we're taught kind of in society to value who's bringing in the money and that sort of thing. But if you kind of separate that, you look at it from that perspective, that's an important way to look at it. But, you know, name, image, and likeness, you're right, Spence. I mean, you're not going to have softball players that often endorsing like Gatorade, where you might have some football players doing it.
That's right.
Or men's basketball. And so the school, what they're going to have to do is say, fine, it's a free market, but we have to make all the opportunities equal. You know, the time that you can meet with players, where you can meet, how you can meet, how your name is branded out there has to be all equal. And then you can let the free market kind of do itself. But I'm telling you, this kind of stuff is going to happen with name, image, and likeness. There's going to be a lot of these things, and there's going to be lawsuits and problems.
Yeah, and that's just what I see happening. I just think it's gonna, just this is just a microcosm of how difficult the NIL rules are going to be, especially to enforce. And anyway, it'll just be something that we will keep an eye on, right?
Yeah.
That we'll continue to monitor.
Yeah.
And let's see what happens. I guess is all we can do.
Yeah, interesting stuff to talk about.
All right, this is AP and Spence. We're coming back at you. This is our rehash of our March Madness brackets.
Yeah.
So we're gonna go over our brackets. They were not perfect, unfortunately. And then we're going to talk about the games coming up and kind of repick the games coming up. We'll see how we do in the second round. How about that?
Yeah, let's do that. You know, it's funny when you pick these, you always assume things, right? Like I had Ohio State there. Nobody's going to say Ohio State versus Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts is going to beat him. I visualize that as like a 30-point win for Ohio State. Yeah. But it never works that way. The NCAA tournament, and I'm guaranteeing you, Spence, some of these upcoming games that we are certain about are going to have some wild twist. Right? No way did I see Oregon State doing what they're doing, tearing through the Pac-12 and now tearing their way into the Sweet 16. And a lot of people said, hey, that their luck's done. What if Oregon State wins the whole dang thing, Spence?
It's possible. It's possible. They could. Why not?
Why not?
I mean, we've never had a 12-seed win.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of 11-seeds get to the Final Four.
Who knows?
Loyola Chicago and George Mason. So it's possible that you could have a lower seed team get there. We've had an 8 win it, right? Can you tell me the 8?
An 8 won it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. North Carolina.
No, Villanova.
Villanova,
yeah, won it. Beat Georgetown. And so that's the highest seeded team to win.
Yeah.
And so this year could be the year where we could have. The problem is, I think, as I've watched these games, Gonzaga looks just incredible. I mean, they just look so good. Baylor looks good. Houston looks good. Michigan has looked really good, too. So,
yeah, although it'll be interesting to Houston had a scare.
Houston did have a scare. Yeah, they were down.
They were down.
They were down but to Rutgers and had to fight back.
You so never we'll know. See. Yeah.
So, okay, so the first round games, we actually tied. Okay? We actually tied. We both picked 21 correct out of the 32 possible games. Neither one of us picked the Oral Roberts upset, of course. I had Ohio State going to the Elite Eight. But I didn't have them going to the championship, and I can't remember. Where did you have Ohio State going?
Yeah, I didn't go to the championship. Okay. Looking at matchups, it looked like, and really listening to the talking heads that kept talking about how good Ohio State was, thought, well, they know. You know, they know what's going on, and they've been around, and nope, they were out immediately. I had Texas winning the whole championship.
And they're out.
And they're out immediately.
They lost to Abilene Christian in the first round. I had Texas in the Final Four. So, of the first round, we both got 21 right. That's not bad.
Yeah, but I can't believe my two teams were out first round that I had in the championship game.
That's really bad. I got to be honest. That's really bad. Hopefully, you didn't listen to our advice. But second round games, you got 8 right, and I got 7 right. So, you were 50% right, and I was just under 50% right, uh-huh. Which, again, isn't bad.
No.
Now, I still have 3 of my final 4 teams in, and you have one of your final 4 teams in.
Yeah.
So we're going to throw out the records.
Yep.
We're going to throw out the records, okay?
Yeah.
Aaron won the first round. We'll give it to him. He won it by 1 game.
Yeah.
And now we're going to go round 2. So we're going to go through these matchups again.
Yeah.
Now that we've seen them play, we've had them, we've been able to watch them, and we're going to repick these games, okay?
Let's do it.
All right. Yeah. So the first game, we're going to start in the upper left corner. We've got the Zags versus Creighton. Who do you got in this game?
I think the Zags, but I'm nervous about the Zags. Is everyone's kind of picking them to win it. They've been kind of cruising. They're due for kind of a we didn't shoot very well type game. They're going to win the game and win it handily, but I bet you it's not a 30-point romp. I bet you they win by like 17 and they have kind of an uglier game. They win it, but they have a little bump in the road.
Yeah, this will be a double-digit win, but I agree. It'll be a closer game. Now, a Pac-12 reunion here in the next game. We've got USC and Oregon. Now, you actually had this game correct. You actually picked this game. You were good to go. I had USC versus Iowa. I thought Iowa was going to beat Oregon. But USC-Oregon. Oregon's playing really well, but so is USC. USC looked unbelievable against Kansas. So who do you got in that game, Mr. Trojan?
Yeah, so this is the first time two Pac-12 teams have met in the Sweet 16 in tournament history. So that's an interesting fact, wow. Right? Yeah. So it's never happened. And here's the thing. USC on their good games, I mean, they handed Kansas its worst tournament loss in history.
Yeah.
Kansas Jayhawks. This is not – and their third worst margin of defeat ever in basketball. So they absolutely obliterated Kansas, and USC was hitting on all cylinders. When they've done that a couple times this year. When they played Oregon earlier, when they've played
BYU,
they played Kansas, they played Stanford. There's been some games where they've just looked like they can't miss, and they could beat anyone in the country and maybe even save for Gonzaga, but they might give them a run for their money.
Sure.
But there's been other times they have huge mental lapses. You know, Utah and games where they can't seem to buy a bucket. They look disheveled. They've been called undisciplined by the media. And they said that they're one of the best teams in the tournament, but they're also very undisciplined. Football gets that same moniker. And where, like, they're so inconsistent, it's you don't feel comfortable picking against them or for them. You're not sure what you're going to get. Oregon, I think, is now healthy.
Yeah.
Oregon wasn't that healthy earlier. They also did – they're the only Sweet 16 team that's only had to play one game. Everybody else has had to play two.
That's
that,
right.
That emotional battle and kind of testing. So they're a little fresher, a little healthier than probably the other teams. Because of that, that's an advantage because everybody else had to play two games at least. And so I think Oregon's a little more of a balanced team. There's going to be a little less up and down. You know what you're going to get with Oregon. Oregon's going to show up and they're going to get you their 82 points and they're going to have a good game. USC is either going to play lights out or they're going to be kind of down. I'm nervous that they looked pretty good against Drake, really pulled away and won by like 18, and they hammered Kansas. So they've won a couple of big games in a row. They're almost due for kind of a letdown game where they just can't seem to hit a shot.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking that's what's going to happen. I hate to call against USC. I think it's not going to be a blowout by any means. I think it's going to be a good game, maybe Oregon up by four at halftime. But Oregon finds a way to kind of be a little more balanced, a little more consistent, win the game by 7-9, something like that, and just edge them. But I would still be happy with that. USC made the Sweet 16. They've looked good doing it. You know, I'm proud of what they did this season. You know, they've won 25 games or whatever it is. Had a great season. Made the Sweet 16. I think Oregon finds a way to get it done.
Well, I'm going to go against you. I think I like USC in this game. I think USC's length versus Oregon's size, because Oregon's bigger, but USC's got length, and I think USC is going to win the game in a close one, very close.
Yep. Okay.
All right, next game is Michigan-Florida State. I actually had this game picked. This is one of the very few games that I had right. So I'm going to stick with my original choice and go with FSU in this game. I think Florida State's playing really well, and I think Michigan's still hurt. But who do you got?
Yeah, I think Michigan finds a way to win it in a close one. I think it'll be ugly and a good game, but Michigan will find a way to come out on top.
All right, next game is another Pac-12 team. I mean, there's a lot of Pac-12 teams in these in the tournament this year. We've got UCLA playing really well versus Bama in the Sweet 16. UCLA, Bama, who do you got in that game?
Yeah, and speaking of that real quick, the Pac-12, Pac-12 has four of the Sweet 16 teams, so 25% of them.
Amazing.
And there was a period of time where no Pac-12 teams were ranked. And at the end, I think like one of them was ranked 24 or 30. Yeah,
Colorado just barely.
Yeah. So it's pretty good showing by the Pac-12 here. You know, I think Alabama wins this. UCLA is a good team. They're a dangerous team. Actually, I knew that. I mean, they were a couple of bad shots and breaks from winning the Pac-12. So they're a good, deep team. I think they give Alabama a lot of fits. And I think Alabama finds a way to win it by 7 or 8. But it's going to be a good game, but Alabama comes out on top.
All right. I agree with you. I think Bama's going to win that game. Bama's just – they're very athletic.
Yeah.
And I just think they're going to be a tough matchup for UCLA. All right. So now moving up to the South bracket, we've got Baylor versus Villanova. A lot of people counted Villanova out, you know, in the first round because they kind of have – one of their best players got hurt. They've been playing really well. They whooped up Winthrop. They whooped up on North Texas.
Yeah.
So Baylor, Nova, who do you got in that game?
I think they're going to run into a buzzsaw finally. I mean, because they really, you know, think about Villanova's played Winthrop and North Texas, right? I mean, good teams, but these aren't elite teams. And I think they're now going to come up against an elite team in Baylor. Baylor will take care of business by 12 or 15.
I agree. I think this is a big win for Baylor.
Yeah.
All right. Arkansas and the Cinderella of the tournament, Oral Roberts. Who do you got in that game?
I think Arkansas wins, and I think Oral Roberts did their time. I mean, they had a huge upset and then another huge upset against Ohio State and Florida, two huge games. But I think their steam and their momentum and their luck probably just sort of ran out, and you've kind of gotten all you can squeeze out of them. I think they're going to feel good being part of the Sweet 16. They're going to run out of steam a little bit, and Arkansas is going to find a way to win it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be Baylor-Arkansas. Okay, now this is the surprise bracket, and I don't know how many people had this one. But we've got Loyola Chicago versus Oregon State. Probably two of the hottest teams in the country right now playing each other.
Yeah.
Who do you got now in the Ramblers or the Beavers?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I thought that Oregon State was going to lose to Tennessee because I thought that they were going to come in just satisfied with making the tournament because they had to win like four games in a row to make the tournament.
That's right.
But somehow they just kept on winning, and they've proven to be well-coached and a good team. And, you know, they beat Tennessee, and then they beat Oklahoma State Oklahoma State's a good opponent, and they really kind of put them away. They look like the better team.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State made some runs. They had some gaffes. I think Loyola Chicago's also going to feel excited that they're in the Sweet 16. They've kind of went over their skis a little bit, too. I think it's going to be a very tight, close game, but I have Oregon State finding a way to edge it out.
I agree with you, because I think Oregon State right now, I think they're going to have Loyola on they're going to have them on size. They're going to have them on skill. I think Loyola is a really good team.
Yeah.
But I think Oregon State is going to be the Cinderella story of the bracket this year, and they're going to the Elite Eight.
I think that's right, which is unbelievable for Oregon State, picked dead last in the Pac-12 preseason.
They're the only team in the Sweet 16 to have two quad four losses in the in the regular season. They lost two teams ranked in the bottom 250. Or 200 of the net rating.
What were those teams that they lost to?
So they, I don't know what the first, I don't know one of them, but the one of them was Portland, University of Portland, who didn't win one game in the WCC.
Yeah, so they started off horrible and picked 12th. Everybody thought, gosh, if they could find a way to win six or seven games, good for them. And here they are in the Sweet 16, about to go to the Elite Eight. So you really never know, right? Timing, momentum. It's not always just about skill. And here they are. I would be. But what's weird is that one of these two teams is going to be in the Elite Eight.
Right.
I mean, Loyola Chicago in the Elite Eight Oregon State?
Now, Loyola Chicago has had a run. A couple years ago, you remember they made the Sweet 16. They made the Final Four as an 11 seed. They are not that bad of a team. And I think I think they're pretty good. Let's see. I think the other Oregon State lost to University of Portland in overtime. And then they lost to Washington State, and they lost to Wyoming. They barely beat Portland State. It's just amazing. This run for them is just awesome. So I think the other quad four loss is probably Washington State, I think.
This might be the deepest tournament run they have in 20 years after this.
It's the first time they've been this far since early 1980s.
Yeah.
Since, back when you and I were in diapers,
Yeah, and I think this was the glove, right? That was Gary Payton.
That's right. Going way back there. All right, so then we got that game. Then we've got Syracuse and Houston. The zone is giving people fits. San Diego State looked really bad. West Virginia couldn't figure it out. So Syracuse, Houston, who do you got in that game?
Houston looked like they should have lost to Rutgers. And they have survived a scare. Syracuse is playing out of their minds, but they shouldn't be this good.
And they struggled in the ACC.
Yeah, I think Houston wins it, but I think it's going to be another ugly game for both of them, really tight, and Houston finds a way to edge them.
All right. I agree. I think Houston's going to ultimately win. I think it's going to be really close, though. But I do think Houston will pull it out. I think Syracuse will come down to earth a little bit. So, okay, then we got our Elite Eight matchups. We've got Gonzaga versus, now I have USC, you have Oregon. Who do you like in that game, Zags or Oregon?
I think Gonzaga beats either USC or Oregon, but again, not big. I think as Gonzaga goes later in the rounds, their perfection's going to slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
They're going to get a little more rusty. There's going to get a little bit more, not rusty, that's the wrong word, more mistakes are going to happen.
Yeah.
And more pressure. And that
well, they're playing better teams,
yeah.
right? I mean,
yeah.
So far they've played Norfolk State,
nothing.
Not a rush, not a concern. Oklahoma, a flawed Big 12 team, and now they're playing Creighton, and then either USC or Oregon, both good teams.
Yeah,
both good teams. But I agree. I think they probably go on to the Final Four.
Yeah.
All right. So then we got Florida State, and I think you picked Bama, right? Or you picked Michigan. I picked Florida State. So you have Florida State versus Bama. Who do you got in that game?
Yeah, I think Bama wins it, gets to the Final Four. Starts looking ugly as well. These games start getting close. They get tight. But Alabama meets Gonzaga in the Final Four.
Okay. I'm going to go with you. I think Michigan will finally come down to earth. Just, they were a great story. They have a really good team, but they're missing one of their better players.
Yeah.
I think Bama ultimately wins out. So I think I agree. Zags, Bama, and Final Four. All right. On the other side, we've got Baylor versus Arkansas. We both have that game picked. Who do you got in that game, Baylor or Arkansas?
I'm going to go with an upset here. I'm going to go Arkansas finds a way
to
trap and trick Baylor, and they beat them in a tough, tight game and find a way to go to the Final Four.
All right, I'm going with Baylor in that game. All right, so now we've got Oregon State versus Houston. This would, I mean, if this is the game, it would be incredible, right? I mean, it's so fun that Oregon State has made this run already. Being from Oregon and having a lot of Oregon State fans, you worked there.
Yep.
We have a lot of connections with a lot of people who are huge Oregon State fans. So Oregon State, Houston, we got Beavers versus the Cougars. Who do you got in that game?
I got Oregon State. Oregon State's a beneficiary of these matchups that they keep getting. And I think Houston's a good team, but they showed some chinks in the armor with Rutgers, where I really thought their Rutgers was going to beat them.
Yeah.
It took a miraculous comeback. They're a good team. I don't know that Houston's an elite team. And I think they're going to start feeling the pressure of the Elite Eight, how far they've come. They're going to think we can beat Oregon State. And it's going to be a neck-and-neck game, and I think Oregon State's going to find another way to get it done.
Oregon State in the Final Four would be incredible.
The story of the decade.
People would just be going nuts here.
Yeah.
I have Houston. My original Final Four was Zags, Baylor, Houston, and Texas. So I'm going to stick with Houston in that game. But I like your take. I think Oregon State's going to have – Gonna play a really good game. So I'm excited to watch it. Do you want to go through the – I mean, I think let's make our picks of the Final Four next week, once those games
are. Yeah, because when things kind of unsettle and we're totally wrong.
Yeah.
But I think that's pretty good. Yeah, so my Final Four is Gonzaga, Alabama, Oregon State, Arkansas.
Yeah, I have Gonzaga, Bama, Baylor, Houston.
Okay.
So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I love it. All right, Spence.
All right. Keep your eye. I'm glad we have March Madness. I hope everybody's being healthy and happy out there. Keep watching games and keep enjoying.
Yep. Keep fighting on.
That's right.